When it was reported to the emperor that one of the officers of his army boldly professed himself a Christian, he was exceedingly angry. He gave orders that Victor should forthwith be brought before him. At the sight of the martyr, Maximin could with difficulty contain his rage. Nevertheless, he controlled himself so far as to listen, with an apparent calmness, to the manifold accusations preferred against the noble prisoner. When these were finished, he said to Victor, "Dost thou acknowledge the truthfulness of these charges?" "Some of them are true," replied Victor, "and others are false." "How meanest thou?" "That I am an enemy of the empire, or do not give due honor to the princes who watch over its prosperity, is false. That I worship not your gods is true." "Thou hast been a brave and faithful soldier until now." "I have striven to do my duty." "I am not ungrateful. I love to honor and reward him who deserves well of his country." "To be able to reward the meritorious services of others is deemed the noblest prerogative of princes." "Maximin will honor and reward Victor, but on one condition." "Name it," said Victor. "Go into the temple, offer incense to the gods, preservers of Rome." "I am Christian," Victor replied. "Darest thou avow thyself a follower of that infamous sect?" "I am a Christian. There can be no infamy in being true to one's God and to one's country," Victor replied. "Renounce thy odious profession, or I will make thee undergo such hardships and tortures that the very mention of them will fill the country with terror." "A true Christian," said Victor, "never renounces his religion. Hardships do not frighten me. A long life spent in the camp and in the field has before now inured me to them. The God, whom I adore, can and will support me amidst tortures, and I render them not only bearable, but pleasant to me, if I suffer for his sake." "Obey our command," cried the enraged emperor. "Go instantly, offer sacrifice to the gods. Command me what is right and just, and I will obey thee with pleasure. But I am a Christian. I offer no sacrifice to demons." The wrath Maximian now knew no bounds, yet he seemed at a loss how to make the martyr feel the full weight of his vengeance. Thinking, however, that by a veteran warrior public disgrace would be more keenly felt than any bodily torture, he resolved to combine both punishments. He ordered, therefore, that his hands and feet should be bound with ropes, and that, in this disgraceful condition, he should be dragged through all the streets of the city. The execution of this barbarous sentence attracted immediately an immense crowd of the populace. They, who before had looked with reverence upon the generous soldier, now vied with one another in heaping every sort of insult and ignominy upon his person. All seemed anxious to please the emperor by seconding, in the most extravagant manner, this bloodthirsty cruelty, as if they deemed it a favor to add, in some way, to the tortures of the innocent sufferer. The savage sport is ended. The martyr, all bruised and bleeding, is, notwithstanding, taken again before the tribunal of the prefect. This officer seemed to believe that the treatment he had received would have induced Victor to desist from his firm resolve of enduring every torment rather than renounce his faith. He began, therefore, to exhort him to listen at last to the voice of those that advised him to secure the favor of the emperor by complying with his orders. The warrior, who lay before him exhausted and scarcely breathing, made no answer. This encouraged the prefect to proceed. "Victor," he said, "can it be possible that, soldier as thou art, thou preferest the very depths of infamy to the glory which awaits thee before the army and the people? Consider how great a folly it is to reject the favor and friendship of the gods and of the princes of Rome, to give up the pleasures and honors of the world, nay, more, thy body and thy very life. For what? For the hope of a reward in a life after the present? For an imaginary possession which no one has seen or known? Oh, how great must be thy infatuation! Heedlessly and thoughtlessly thou drawest upon thyself all the horrors of human vengeance, the merciless wrath of the Caesars, and all this in the sight of thy once admiring friends and relatives, who will never again lift up their heads, bowed down as they are beneath the heavy load of grief and disgrace brought upon them by their noblest representative? Reflect, O warrior, consult thy dearest interests while yet thou hast time, while imperial mercy is ready to stretch forth a saving hand. Is this a time to taunt me thus? Said the martyr. Is this wreck of former strength and vigor still worth preserving, and that by the means which you propose? Say that you wilt cease to despise the immortal gods, whose majesty shines forth in our temples, whose blessing are bestowed upon all. Promise that thou wilt worship them even as the princes of the empire, yea, and the lowliest of the people worship them, and, with their anger, thy misfortunes shall have an end. Alas, neither in this life nor in the next, whispered Victor, will I so cowardly as to follow such an advice? The prefect, who appeared possessed of but one idea, that of bringing about apostasy of the heroic sufferer, did not perceive the determined courage which animated the very countenance of Victor. He continued his address. Why wouldst thou put thy trust in a god, who lived poor upon earth, who died despised by men? Had he been powerful, as God should be, would he have suffered in that manner? Renounce him at once. Do not force Caesar to condemn thee to tortures, whereof that which thou hast already suffered is but as the shadow to the reality. Be wise in time. Do not insult Caesar and the commonwealth by spurning their generous offers. As these words, the martyr, strengthened by the victory which he had gained, filled with the grace which God gives to them that are tried for his sake, arose, and summoning up all his courage, as if facing again the foes of his country, addressed the prefect, the officers, and the multitude that surrounded the tribunal. If in this trial, which I made to undergo before you all, there were merely question of the interests of Caesars and of the Republic, my only defense would be so to declare solemnly that I would never injure the emperor, that I never failed in the respect due to his person, that I have ever been ready to serve him in the profession which I have hitherto followed. Every day, together with my brethren, I offer sacrifice for the safety of Caesar and for the prosperity of the whole empire. Daily, too, I present to my God a priceless and unbloody victim that he may bless and preserve the commonwealth. But would it not be the extreme of folly and blindness to devote oneself wholly a particular object in preference to another which is 1,000 times more excellent? What would it be if that same object were neither according to your wishes, nor enjoyable without anxiety, nor solid, nor permanent? And if the others were all you could desire, abiding, ever satisfying, perfect. Now, there is no sensible man among you all who does not know that the favor of princes, the pleasures of this world, glory, honor, friends, health, and life itself are possessions which none can obtain at will, hold securely, or keep for a long time. Hence, you must confess that it is right and reasonable to prefer to them the unutterable and solid delights which spring from the enjoyment of God, the author of the universe. Him we possess so soon as we love him, and with him we possess all things. Out of his exhaustless and everlasting treasures he draws the boundless rewards which he bestows upon them who, for his sake, give up the vain and short-lived pleasures of this life. Hence, death has no terror for us, since it is the way which leads to bliss. Hence, we willingly undergo torments, because they extinguish the fires of hell. Thus, we turn into blessings that which you look upon as simply evils. But you, in your blindness, worship as a god the worst of your enemies. Him you serve in this life, and thereby drawn upon yourself unending miseries in the life of the hereafter. And who is the enemy whereof I speak? It is vice that teaches by word and example the most shameful disorders. You cannot deny that the verses which you recite and sing in public are a mean of teaching your fellow men. Now, What is the burden of these songs and canticles, which are heard in your theaters and in your temples? It is not an endless list of crimes and infamies sanctioned and committed by your gods. What would you punish in men, you honor in your deities, and inconsistent in your principles and practice, you degrade your reason and pervert your judgment?